couple of stories. When the church that I was kind of trained in as far as an internship was Regina Apostolic Church. Still there, it's thriving, a healthy, happy church. And it was a good experience for me to be there. It had a big sign, not when I was there, it was just called Regina Apostolic Church, but it did, before that, have an electric sign, a neon sign, that it said, and you've heard me say this before, many of you, that if you look down the sidewalk, it said Bill, or it says Jesus Saves. That's what the sign said, Jesus Saves. Big J, Jesus Saves. And it was Jesus Saves Army and Navy Veterans, or Jesus Saves Bill and Fred, because it was a menswear. And for years and years and years and years, but here's the point. They had meetings for 29 years in a row. They never not had a meeting in those 29. In other words, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But it didn't work like you think it worked. There was a senior pastor, Brother Story, very capable man. But the evangelists would come. Speakers would come steady. But it was all, they told me, because I wasn't there in those days. They said, this is how it worked. The first week was always about salvation through the grace of Jesus. The second week, so there'd be 5-6 nights of that, salvation, making sure that everybody was saved. And then there would be, the next week would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Same person. And so every night, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, everybody would come forward and hands would be laid on them. The third week was almost always divine healing. And that he'd preach every single night, by his stripes you were healed. And so, and pray for everybody. That's the third. The last week, it would always be, now remember, it's been on salvation, it's been on baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's been on healing. What would they speak on? The second coming. They said over and over and over again, we'd hear, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. And we live like he's coming, and we proclaim like he's coming. And I thought, you know, that influence was still in that church, because I can remember being a part of these prayer meetings. They had a morning prayer meeting that went for years and 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 years as well. And they'd always, and they get, you know, praying and then talking. And then it would always, the conversation would always end with this. Well, we need to pray for the coming of the Lord. That's how it would end. Didn't matter what news item it was, how terrible something had happened in the world. That these older people would lean to one another and say, we need to pray for the coming of the Lord. We need to pray for the coming of the Lord. So I thought, wow, I'm so glad that's in my life. Yesterday, or day before yesterday, I was reading that kind of a new agey magazine called Common Ground. You ever seen Common Ground? It's kind of an eclectic gathering of a bit of everything, or somebody said a dog's breakfast of everything. But at any rate, there was an article about the Prime Minister. And it said, he doesn't want anyone to know it, but he belongs to an organization. I think he goes to an alliance church is what he goes to. But they said, did you know that this individual doesn't want this to be found out, but he believes in the Bible, and that he believes, here it is, are you ready for it, the second coming. He actually believes that Jesus is going to come back in the apocalypse. Now, it was shared to show how terrible that is. And yet, for centuries, folks, for 2,000 years, the message of the church has always been, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ shall come again. That's not new, something new. That's not something unique to the Prime Minister. Thousands and millions of people believe that Christ shall come again. But that brings us to the text. Chapter 24, verse 3. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, now this is really an important question, so watch carefully. Tell us, when will these things be? When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming of the close of the age? Not the end of the world, the close of the age. Let me read that again. Tell us when, that's what they're asking, right? They want the date, the time. Tell us when will these things be, And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? And Jesus answered them, see to it, see that no one leads you astray. For not one or two, but for many. Now I read it, many. Watch that. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed. For this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all these are but the beginning of the birth pains. That's my topic this morning. That's my title. The beginning of birth pains. What a word, birth pains. The beginning of the birth pains, labor pains. Jesus is coming again. And the events, even cataclysmic events, are happening even now, foretelling his coming. And people are saying, what's with the tornadoes? What's with the earthquakes? What's with this or what's with that? Birth pains. That's what it is. Birth pains. You don't know which is the last, but you can know that the baby is coming, that Christ and his kingdom are on the way. That's what we learn from this. The Bible calls them birth pains. You don't know when the last one will be, but we know that it's the birthing of the coming kingdom of Christ, but the present age that we're in. There, at the close of the age, the new age, I'm using that in a biblical way, the new kingdom, the old kingdom makes way for the new kingdom. But it's things will happen so that you know that you are at the end of the age. People think it's the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. The world's got a whole lot more things that have to happen. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the age. The closing of the age. He says, tell us what will be the signs of that so that we know that the coming kingdom is just about ready to be birthed. That's what we're talking about here today. So we ask the question, could this really be the end of the age? Could it really be? The closing of the age? Again, not the end of the world, because I hear people say the end of the world is near. No, it's not. The end of the age. See, over the years, there's one advantage of a lot of things about knowing people for a long time and being around people. And we were just saying, as we were praying before the service here, that, you know, you don't have to make up stories about the church and about people. The truth is funnier than anything you'd ever make up. So we were just howling with laughter just because of things that we know about that happen when church people get together. So over the years, I've heard fellow Christians suggest that we're in the last days. And often these ideas started from current news item, something on the news. AIDS epidemic. Oh, that was what, remember that? We thought for sure that Jesus was coming back with that. I can go back further to the late 60s. I'm telling you, we had reasons why Henry Kissinger should be watched. We knew he was the Antichrist. Jewish? Yeah, I think so. And we thought that JFK, yeah, so you say he's dead. You know, you never know. He may rise up again, like that guy in Revelation. You know, he's wounded in the head and he rises up again. So you're smiling, but when the late great Planet Earth came out with Hal Lindsey, this was a buzz of activity. It was all people talked about. And I remember people telling me and telling Val too, don't bother going to Bible school. No, not enough time. Not enough time? Why waste your money? Jesus is coming. The Jesus movement told us that. Thousands and thousands of hippies, as it were, right? Tracking across, telling that Jesus is coming again. And there was the Vietnam War. and even maybe more than that, the sexual revolution would do your own thing, question authority. There was all kinds of reasons why it seemed that this must be it. Well, a lifetime later, I'm still here. So for some of those things that happened, it kind of, oh yeah, well, another message in the second coming. But, and even the world makes fun. I used to work for a guy. He'd say, sheesh, you're slower than the second coming of Christ. That's a common thing. You guys or anybody who works, you know, that's common language. But they, interesting enough, they're still talking about it. Right, they're still talking about it, whether it's said in mockery or anything else. So, I'm suggesting something here this morning that despite the fact that, yes, we've heard it, that Jesus is coming, and we know people that have sold their homes and done kind of crazy things, but because they thought this was the end and they need to prepare for it. But I would say this, I made a little note that we must remember that the authenticity of Christianity itself is predicated upon its prophecies. I'll say that again. We must remember that the authenticity of Christianity itself is predicated upon its prophecies coming to pass. If they don't come to pass, it's a false religion. So Jesus, Paul, and others have prophesied things. So it behooves us here this morning to read the prophecies to see what has been said. And so Peter and Jesus, Paul and John have prophesied things. So let's look at, turn with me if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 1 to verse 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons. I think that's, by the way, regarding the second coming, if anyone says they know the date, you know automatically that they're wrong. And the reason we know automatically is simply because Jesus said, neither the Son knows, only the Father knows. Wasn't it funny how people know the exact date when Jesus is coming when even Jesus doesn't know it? That should give us some little clue about that. But you have seen that, I think, what is the it's supposed to be May, isn't it? May is Jesus. May 21st, Jesus is coming back. Have you seen the poster, the billboards? They're all over. And it's a prophecy that he's coming on the 24th. Well, that's the very point I'm making. Nobody, now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace, there is security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you as a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep. No, there's a warning here to us. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, excuse me, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. That's a good, very interesting verse for those of us who hold a premillennial, pre-tribulational view, especially. God has not appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Interesting passage. The Apostle Paul spoke of the day of the Lord, that it would come like a thief. It will come, in other words, it will actually sneak up. The word thief in the night is there for a reason. Picture how a thief works. He doesn't work in broad daylight. He sneaks to find access to a place, to something to rob, to steal. So it will sneak up on people. No, be aware of that. You're not going to see it coming. It's not going to be obvious in that sense until it's too late. There's two groups of people that he draws our attention to. People of light and people of the dark. If we walk in the light, we will see where we are going and what is coming ahead. See? What is coming ahead? He said, regarding the times and the seasons. If you walk in the light, you won't be deceived. But if not, you will be. So he says, be alert. Be aware. And I made a statement on my notes that if we are to watch, if we're to be alert, there must be something to look for. Why are we watching and being alert and being sober-minded and looking ahead so that we're always children of the day, not children of the night? What are we watching for? What are we waiting for? What is the point of watching if you don't know what you're watching for? That's my comment. And for that reason, I don't want to be deceived. And I don't want to be caught up with every single crazy thing that might be coming down the pike. I know what the writers of Scripture who have given these Christian prophecies, the thing that they were concerned about was the coming one. And that's what I have called him, the coming one. If you've done any reading in the New Age genre of books and articles, and go into any bookstore, oh my goodness, there's 10,000 more books, New Age books, than there are Christian books. And the Christian books are just full of crazy things, in my mind, kind of crazy things about this. But in the New Age teaching, many are waiting for the appearance of the world healer. But it's not Jesus. Now, keep that in mind. Millions of people are talking and dialoguing and reading stuff, and all of it is about the coming world healer and savior, the coming world healer and savior. And he's coming in the Aquarian age, the age of Aquarius. You remember we sang that in the 60s? Well, that's still true, at least to New Age people. The astrological age of enlightenment and peace. Enlightenment and peace. Now remember that, because I'm going to come back to this again. This is crucial. Enlightenment and peace. That's the promise of the world healer. And millions of people are discussing books and reading books. And unfortunately, many of them think that it's talking about Jesus, because they call to him the Christ and the Christ within. But that is not who it is. The age of Aquaria is an astrological age of enlightenment and peace. Those two things. And I'll come back to that again. This Savior, would unite all mankind under his guidance. And they refer to him as the coming one. The coming one. The coming one. That's what he's called. This person is not the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Christians await the return of, but an entirely different individual who would embody all the great principles of occultism. Now, here, write this down. Chiefly, the divinity and perfectibility of man. They wait for the embodiment of all the great principles of occultism, chiefly the divinity of man and the perfectibility of man, that we can become perfect here on this earth through enlightenment. So the reappearance of the avatar, the whole world who are leaning spiritually but not towards Christ, are waiting for the world teacher. the Avatar, and by whatever name he may be known. But they all expect to appear, they expect him to appear in a major manifestation in connection with the Aquarian Age. That's where we are in this moment of time and life. Interesting enough, Paul declared one called the man of sin, the son of perdition, would also proclaim himself to be God. So let's look at the Christian prophecies. 2 Thessalonians, just flip over if you've had your Bible open anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, we're not left with direction. We have direction. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You got that? Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus. That's the topic. That's the text. That's the context for the text. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus coming back. Now you got to catch that, because this, he's saying something about this. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him. We ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to have come from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has, in a sense, already come, has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, again, following this, that day will not come unless the rebellion occurs first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. That's what we're sitting on the edge about. That something has to happen before the day of the Lord. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs. Remember that? False signs and false wonders. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false. God sending the delusion. Don't forget that either. In order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again, my old mentor, Brother Pritchard, says that when they refuse to believe the gospel, it's not that they believe something else. They believe everything else. You reject the gospel, you believe everything. You just embrace everything. And I think we're seeing that. So I believe this coming Aquarian Messiah will be the son of perdition or the son of destruction spoken by Paul in 2 Thessalonians. This Aquarian Messiah. And there are people by the hundreds and millions are expecting him to make a major appearance. This is pretty serious stuff. Are they fools? Not in terms of their intellect, not in terms of their education. Some very and very sincere people believe that it's time we had a real Messiah, since the other one is old and out of date. So a new one is coming, and the one that even, see, most of these people believe that Jesus prepared the way for the Avatar to come. So we must, what we watch for is the restructuring of our world by those preparing the way for his arrival and his identity to be revealed. So things have to change. Things have to be put into place. Things have to, it just doesn't happen. Like, there is a stage that has to be set, and one is to have people begin to think a certain way about truth and about reality. And that brings us to Daniel chapter 8 about this. Remember, he's called the son of perdition, the son of destruction. He's called the lawless one, and he has to do with the rebellion. So it's very, very rebellious. So if you turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 23. And at the latter end, you know how it is, if you know how to read your Bible, especially the Old Testament, there's always a near vision where something's happening right presently, and there's a far vision where that's still going to take place. That's true of all Old Testament verses like that. They're often, they've got an immediate thing that something's actually happening with Nebuchadnezzar, with some king, but then it's all of a sudden he's talking about this, and a topic really goes a long ways away from what he was speaking, but there's a reason for that. So look at this, Daniel chapter 8, verse 23. At the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, a king of bold face, I think a fierce countenance, some translations read, one who understands riddles, that's his uniqueness. Parables, but riddles, shall arise. His power shall be great, but not by his own power. And he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does, and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. By his cunning, he shall make deceit prosper under his hand, and in his own mind, he will become great. Without warning, he shall destroy many. I believe that is, will probably be, in my understanding, just my opinion throwing out here, probably in the tribulation. And he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but not by human hand. Wow. Tell me your Bible's not interesting? Oh, in the world. How do we pass over that, right? That, Paul said, somebody's coming. There's a coming one. And he's going to deceive millions and millions of people. So, but Paul says, but remember, you're not of the night in order to be deceived. You're of the day. So we're watching. So we'd say Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ shall come again. We know he's coming, but there are things that have to be done first. The world, let me just go back a bit. Daniel 8, 23, 26 states that this man will be a master of dark sayings, riddles, parables. And the world, now what about the world? How will the world see this? How will it be embraced? The world will see him as one who is distinguished and spiritually brilliant. He will be distinguished and brilliant. He will have answers. He will be, in his mind, the epitome of wisdom, but people will see him as the one who can solve the world's problems. I wrote, no doubt this coming one will not be Christian. He will not be a Hindu. He will not be a Buddhist. He will not be an American. He will not be a Jew. He will not be Italian. He will not be Russian. His title will not be important, for he is for all humanity. He's for all humanity. He's in favor of humanity. And to unite all religions and all philosophies and all nations. That's his job. He will come, he will be for the people. He will bring enlightenment, and I'm doing that. The only one who could bring this about, in my mind, as I read Paul's prophecies, is the one who fits the description mentioned in Daniel chapter 8. I think it's him. You might have another view. But I suspect when this man comes forward, he hasn't come yet. Is he here? He could be. Is he waiting? Yes. It will happen because the prophecy said it would happen. That's how we know. We don't know today, tomorrow. It says we know the times and seasons, but we don't know the day. We don't know when he will come. But I suspect that this man, when he comes forward, when the time is right, when the people are conditioned, he will appear. And all those, now zoom in real tight now for this, okay? Just zoom really into my words. That all of those who are in touch with their higher self, you might want to write that down, just that little phrase, higher self. Those who are awakened, right? They're in touch with their higher self, and they're awakened, will clearly recognize him as their unifier and will give him their allegiance readily, willingly, gladly. Those who will understand him coming are enlightened ones. That's why our insistence on the blood of the Lamb, on repentance, our insistence on a coming Savior, Jesus, is ridiculed and knocked because they don't see that. They have a higher enlightenment, a greater enlightenment, to their higher self. And I wrote another note. He will have a ready-made constituency, people in key positions, to help him reconstruct society to a new world, a new reality. This will be the final culmination of the paradigm shift. And so I won't read Revelation 13, but you need to read Revelation 13 because it predicts the Antichrist and the false prophet will perform lying wonders. This will have credibility. You know, you can kind of smirk. This will have credibility. This will make our Christian religion, it'll be an attempt to make it look ridiculous and bloody and old age, old thinking, too many wars, too many Christians causing wars, too many Bible thumpers, too many condemners, too many people who are intolerant. So the new age can't come until they're out of the way. It's a problem, you see, because we're so old school that they see us as being actually bad because of our narrowness. Lying signs and wonders. To many, the Christ is coming. But the Christ that's coming is not Jesus. It's not Jesus. So the man of lawlessness, as Paul called him, the coming one, will do this on a very, very vast scale. The son of destruction will be here on the earth. And he will seem to work great miracles, helpful things, solving the war in the Middle East. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be something? Solve the Middle East problems. Going around the world, a one world religion. Makes sense, doesn't it? That's workable. One world bank, one world government, governed by an amazing, brilliant avatar who's come. The long-predicted one, the long-awaited one has now come. Jesus was one of them, but it's a succession. Moses and Jesus and Buddha and everybody. And then finally, this one who is now coming to this world, as it apparently is said. So he seemed to do great miracles to convince humanity that we... Now, here's the thing. Now, again, zoom in tight so you hear this. His job is to convince humanity that we all have this great power. That you and I and everybody has this great power or potency within us. That if we just think higher thoughts, if we just begin to be more positive, that this great power or potency can be released. And I put a little note here, demonic spirits will deceive the whole world into embracing a new system. That will happen, I no doubt. And Satan will be the power behind the coming one, but nobody will know that. Nobody will know that. The great Antichrist. But now it starts to make sense with Matthew 24. At least for me. I'm supposed that Hitler came, would be a type of Antichrist, and maybe Mussolini and a few others. And down through the centuries, there's probably been many people. But Jesus said, this is his prophecy, many will come in my name. The whole world will believe that they have been enlightened and have reached their higher self. So when you go down to a bookstore, you will see, you don't have to take my word for it, just go do it. Go down to a bookstore, just start scanning down the religious section, the New Age section, and you will see over and over and over and over again how to reach your higher self, the Christ within, the goddess within. Well, I think it's not just that one or two will actually arise and say, I'm the Christ, and maybe this poster that we were talking about here, Katie, maybe that poster, there may be people like that, says, this is who the Christ is. We don't know. We don't know about that. But we do know that when the teaching is that it's not that there is a Christ, you are the Christ. You are the Christ. You just haven't lived up to your potency. You haven't lived up to your possibilities. You're in that level of the old age, and now the Aquarian age with a Messiah to teach you to how to reach that level through meditation, through listening, through a thousand other things, so you finally begin to think that, wow, I'm really actualizing myself as never before. So it starts in my mind, when Jesus, many, many will come in my name, and many, many will be deceived. And I thought, wow, see that, they people say right now, because I was reading some, maybe too much of this stuff in some ways, but they will say that you already have a Christ consciousness. But it'll be a different one. But those who have this Christ consciousness will recognize the coming one, not knowing that it's the son of perdition. Because they will have a Christ consciousness. And that's what all the teaching is about. So you become more conscious of the Christ. And it intersperses with you. Instead of us bowing our knee to the Christ, I become the Christ. The ultimate of ego. The ultimate of that we won't have to worry about some God running the world. We are God. Now we're smirking. You won't be smirking when you see it. It'll make perfect sense. Perfect sense. See, the Savior of the New Age will be a channel through which cosmic truth, well, all cosmic truth, will probably come. In other words, the Christ is you. I see the book say, wow, you know, there's a power within me that needs to be released. I've been waiting for that myself. I tell Val once in a while that she said, yeah, well, it hasn't been fully released. But in other words, the Christ is you. That's why I think many will come. Millions. The Christ is you. You are the one who is to come. Each of you. You are coming. You're still here, many of you, but many of you are getting enlightened. Your ego, it's about you and achieving your goals and the potential, human potential. And I thought, oh my goodness, does this not take us back to Genesis? That you can be God? Wasn't that? You taste of this, you can have this enlightenment. That's what exactly what the serpent said. That you could be all that you want to be. All you have to do is disobey God and embrace this. But wow. So you're the one who is to come. Each of you, each and every one of you. You are the Christ of God, they will announce. You're not this sinner. You're not this worm that Christianity says you are. You are Christ-like. And I can see our world. That will be the most delicious thing they've heard in their whole lives. Wow. And I'm being enlightened even now. Oh, yes, you'll be enlightened. Wow. 2 Thessalonians. Come back to that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way. See, the only way you can know that is by watching, staying close to Christ, Christ the Lord, Christ Jesus. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come, unless the rebellion comes first. Now, here's my question to you. Did Paul lie, or is somebody still coming? Because that's the question. If he's off, there's nobody coming. Paul said there was. A lawless one is coming. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting, thank God, not all, by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. But it won't sound bad. You've got to remember that. There's not demons and spirits. It won't sound Satan, Antichrist. No, it will make sense. Like all things of the enemy make sense, right? It just makes sense. Deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. That's why if we're a little cautious about the stuff that we're reading in the church and we're bringing in, we are conscious that these things often have things that blend in. It's more New Agey than Christian. And so we say, well, we need to know exactly what's being taught and what we're not teaching. Deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars who are consciences are seared. So again, a warning that people can be deceived. So I ask the question, is a one world religion is on the way? Well, I don't think, like you may think it is. It won't be a single one world denomination. I don't think. But we'll have a unity in diversity about it. It will have a multicultural interfaith about it. It will have an ecumenical agenda. All coming under, in other words, you'll be able to keep what you have, but it'll all be brought under a larger umbrella that is very delightfully looking. And finally, we're sitting down together. Finally, there's dialogue. Finally, we're not stressing the need of people to get saved. We're just stressing that just live your life and become all you can become. And that's why, by the way, if there was one course on Romans and one course on how to become what you could become, well, all you could become, that the course will have four people in, and that people will have 400 in it. That's how, we're just on the edge of being deceived. We could be. But all will come under the world ruler. And Satan's plan has always been to deceive people into believing they can become like God. Like God. And here's my question. Can believers be deceived? Paul says, if it were possible, even the elect. I think many have been deceived who claim to be Christian. Especially when you mix it with things, right? You mix a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and think that that's maybe a good thing. That's what many people would think it was. So these are the beginning of birth pains. Many will come into my name, and therefore we watch, we be alert. And here's one of the areas that we need to. Brother Pritchard finally got through to me. He'd be so happy with what I'm about to say. Everywhere in Pentecostal full gospel circles, I hear this. There's a great world revival coming. I'm here to say there isn't. There's a great falling away about to happen. There's a great deception about to happen. Do we believe in revival? Yes, but not end time revival. Give me one verse where there's a promise of an end time revival. Can you think of any? Because there aren't any. Unless you make Israel the church in your thinking. But it isn't. There's no, Paul didn't say, oh, by the way, don't worry about the great revival's coming. Oh, don't worry about it. There's a revival coming. There's not a revival coming. There's a falling away. This is the teaching. Paul says, listen, walk in the truth. Know my word. Know your Bible. So you can base your faith on something solid. Because there will be, oh, so much coming. True, and it'll be confusing. You say, oh, I thought that was God. I thought that was, you know, they talked about being born again. These groups all talk about being born again. Right? There's all kinds of things. Whether, you know, Wicca's got its moments, and trans-channeling has its moments, and out-of-body experiences, and, you know, so it just keeps coming, and there's just no end of it. The only good thing about, some about the New Age thing, in my mind, the good thing is that people circle out of it, too. But there's no end of things that will be mentioned. But there's no great end-time revival coming. But a great, now, that doesn't mean we can't have revival in our church. Hear what I'm saying. It's just not an end-time revival. It's just revival because the saints need to be revived, like our prayer thing did for us. Focused on Jesus and focused on repentance. And we had a powerful time in our life, and still will. But we weren't saying, oh, this is the great revival, because I just don't see it. Show me. I will buy into it. If you show it, revival, yes, we need an end-time revival that's not coming. But what is coming? A massive, huge deception to pave the way for the man of perdition. And so, maybe I've said enough. So Christ and his kingdom are about to come, but first, the birth pains. The kingdom of God is about to explode onto this world. His feet will touch the Mount of Olives. Everything's on track. When we see these things, we just say, birth pains, more trouble, yep, birth pains, the economy, yep, birth pains, to prepare the world. See, right now, I don't think the world would receive what I'm just suggesting that they might receive, but I believe they will when the conditions are right, when the economy is right. When people are desperate, when they say, we would serve the devil or the deep blue sea if we had an answer here. We'll take whoever. Here's somebody coming now. And this person has divine wisdom and insight. And this is not this the one we've been waiting for. And thus thinking that it's Jesus the Lord. So the kingdom of God is about to explode. Christ is coming back, but not before the man of perdition is revealed. I want to close by Romans chapter 8. And you know, I tried to, one of the things I didn't really like when I was growing up and all this stuff, didn't like the spookiness of it. They always tried to make it so spooky, it kind of scared me more than it did anything. And my purpose this morning was not to scare you even slightly. Matter of fact, to give you confidence that you're not walking in darkness, that you're serving the risen Christ. And I would say, if you have not yet given your heart to Christ, if you've not yet received him as your Savior, you need to do that. Because you will believe a lie. This is a huge deception coming. That people will turn, and they'll turn the wrong direction. The whole world. For this to take place, the whole world is going to be involved in it. For we know, chapter 8, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation has been groaning together. In what? Pains of childbirth. Isn't that interesting? You know, you never think all of a sudden every second verse has the pains of childbirth in it. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly. It's not the earth is groaning, waiting for its emancipation, waiting for the millennium to come, waiting for Jesus to set his kingdom up, waiting for us to beat our swords into plowshares, waiting for a world peace that is a real world peace based on Jesus. The key thing that this movement will suggest, by the way, is peace. Enlightenment and peace, enlightenment and peace, enlightenment and peace, enlightenment and peace. That will be the theme. And so, but Paul says, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Where the earth is not what it's going to be. Christ will come. It will be a glorious time. David will sit on that throne for 1,000 years because it was promised. Jesus, that's Jesus, right? He will sit on that throne for 1,000 years. And all the nations of the world will bless him. But before that, there are things. To me, you know, in many, 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 many ways, this is one, it kind of excites you to say, oh my goodness, we are in a moment of space and time here. We are in a moment together when we are in the beginning of the 21st century, where we can see all these things happening around us, and we've got some insight. You have your Bible in one hand, your newspaper, or your iPod in the other, to saying, this stuff's happening everywhere.
Yes, it is.
But many are asleep. Many are caught up in their own interests. And so when the coming of Jesus, remember that Jesus, when will be your coming and the close of the age? It's linked, and the close of the age. He said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to see earthquakes like you've never seen before. You're going to see unusual things. If I put all the verses together, we'd be here for the whole day. He said, that's what you're going to see. Do not be deceived. Many will come in my name and saying, they are the Christ. What if entire nations came and said, we are the Christ, and we'll deceive men? But we are not of the night, we're of the day. He said, praise God. Praise God. I could see myself down at the airport chanting with orange robes on. Just before, I don't know the grace of Jesus in my life. I know where I'd be. I'll tell you, I'd be doing some crazy thing, thinking that I found enlightenment. And I'm glad my enlightenment is not in myself, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. You have a Savior who will come. Let's stand together. As we pray, what do we pray for? Don't want a bunch of scared people pray to read the newspaper. These things are bothersome. When you see that, they're bothersome things, isn't it? I mean, it's really troubling. But I don't want that. I don't think that should be, because he says, listen, don't be alarmed by that stuff. Your redemption is on the way. You're on the end of the closing of an age. And I believe we'll see the son of perdition. I believe we'll see him. Maybe just before we go. Because God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. But it doesn't matter whether we will or not. Paul said he's coming. I believe it. He says, watch and pray. That has to happen before the coming of the Lord. You need to get on the right side of Jesus. If you say, well, I'm just thinking, I don't know whether I'll receive Jesus or not. I know that if you reject him, you'll receive something, but it won't be him. That's what Paul's whole concern was, that we'll get deceived. So I'd like to pray a prayer that we'll walk in the light, that we'll be humble, any insight we have. We won't get caught up in setting dates. And whatever that thing with the big posters are and that May thing is, I'd say anchor yourself in Scripture, anchor yourself in the Lord, because that could spin you way off. And so, these are just the birth pangs. Father, thank you for your word. What a book. What a guideline. We thank you, Lord, for these prophecies. So that when these things happen, we'll just say, yes, yes, yes. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. I pray you deliver us from fear, especially if we get obsessed with it. Lord, I pray that just may there just be a composure about us and a confidence that everything is working out the way the Lord Jesus planned it. We're so glad we belong to you, Lord. And I pray, God, as we were so challenged these last 3 weeks to stay white hot for you, we're glad that we can say, no, Lord, keep us on fire. Keep the fire burning. We don't want to fall asleep and be a people of the night. We want to stay in that light. So, God, I pray you bless every person who's here this morning. Touch us all. And we love you, Lord. Thank you for a beautiful day you've given us. Pray we'll enjoy it and we'll reflect that our Lord is coming back. Lord, the sky is our goal, not the grave. But either way, we win. So we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. See you on the patio. Oh, if you want prayer this morning, I'm sorry. If you want prayer, please come. Got out of sync there last week. The prayer people will be here. They'd be glad to pray for you.